here. We've got a boy on the hotline who says he might know something.
The answer is in the pyramid.
We built the pyramid a long time ago to illustrate how much people should eat of the four basic food groups. The pyramid doesn't work. We've already tried it.
It's upside down.
What?
Sir, the pyramid is upside down.
Turn the pyramid upside down.
It can't be serious. That would put butter and fat at the top
Flip the damn food pyramid!
This is not FDA approved!
Sir, we've got a match.
Nutrition is stabilizing.
Get the president on the phone. Tell him to have some steak with his butter.
Thanks to you.
Go try it out. Try it out. Out. Putin! Putin!
Oh, you heard that?
Oh, yeah. I'm curious if it's going to pick up our voices.
Where?
On this recording right now.
Stay woke. Stay woke.
Stay woke.
Let's go.
All right, I'm recording, so let's see here.
Thanks, Obama.
Hey, you're back. Welcome back to the show. This is March 14, 2024, and for those who mistakenly tuned into the show, it's called the Good Time Culture Podcast, and it's recorded in the smallest big city in the Gold Coast of California. It's lovingly known as Oxnard. I am OG Mutt Dog, and on the other mic, you'll find Hollywood. And today we have two guests, a special guest way down somewhere in the east part of the country. She goes by Gail. And the other one, you're going to recognize his, monotoned voice. Our intern is back. And, well, before I end, make sure you press protect or record or get a pin out or something, or at least turn the volume so everyone around listening to the show can understand this. Or, you know, do not forget that everything, and I mean everything, that we speak about on this show is protected opinion. All right, Hollywood, let's go.
All right. This is your safe and effective, mostly peaceful podcast over here. So welcome if that's what you're looking for. All glory to God. We're glad to be back and hitting the record button. Super grateful to have some extra guests along for the ride here. You guys, if you want to chime in, you can chime in if you want.
Hey.
There's Gail over there. She's in.
Just saying hey.
Yep. Hey. I don't know if Robert's off the mute button over there.
How's hey, it? Hey, hey, hey.
I already outed him too. The intern.
Yeah. You can call me whatever, but intern works. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Loud and clear, buddy. Loud and clear.
So this is
is my voice monotone?
It's always fun.
Now it sounds very, very, if I may use the word, manly.
It is better. It's deeper.
It's very manly.
But yeah, we got the Zoom going for the intern, and we got the phone call in from Gail here. So this is definitely a lot of channels to monitor. But
yeah, this ain't no Rick and Nick show, guys. You're listening to, right? We're first class all the way.
Let's see. So I don't really have any music set up this week for our normal kind of appetizer that we get into, but I'll just play this and then. We'll get into current events and stuff.
I was here a little late.
Yep. You certainly were.
I know. I thought that I was special. That's what you told me. Hold me. Stop acting like you don't know me. When I do so bad that it sent you away from me. Not only sent you away, but made you stay away from me.
My child, I'm here as I've always been. It is you who went away and now are back again. What did I say?
Follow your word and be true.
What did you do?
Well, what I wanted to do.
What have you seen?
Darkness and hell at a glance.
What do you want?
All I want is another chance.
To meet him. Where I'm living ain't right. Black hate white. White hate black. It's right back to the same fight. They got us suspecting the war. But the real war to follow the law of the Lord. I'm ready to meet him.
This is a little harder, too, because I got to actually turn the volume down on my PC, not on my board, because of this Zoom call thing here.
It's the same sound channel.
I'm going to have to figure that out, yeah. But
you could we'll talk tomorrow.
What were you saying, Gail? There was tornadoes going on over there?
Oh, yeah. Well, in I was west of me and north of me, Ohio has had mass casualties. Wow. And they don't even have enough ambulances. They're having people... I think one of the hospitals was hit up in, it was either in Indiana or Ohio. There's some in Arkansas tornadoes that have touched down. I think like 15 all around in Texas.
Wow.
Oklahoma. Yeah.
Wow. But it's like widespread.
Hey, Gail, wasn't there a city just somewhere in Ohio that just announced that they were limiting the hours of operation for 911?
Well, quite a few of the cities are. Quite a few of them, and well, mostly in Democratic states, but you know.
Yeah, well, they were saying because they had a limited amount of firefighters, ambulance, police officers. So this is a real issue.
Wow.
And funds.
So there's
the money is going to the illegals, and so they don't have the money now to they're cutting government employees, they're cutting police, they're cutting people like that everywhere.
Amazing. Amazing.
What? Everywhere.
There's like
a
giant solar eclipse. Oh, that's in April. Okay. Yeah. April 8th.
April 8th.
Okay.
And you know there's 8 or is it 9 cities that the X will cross? They're called Nineveh.
Huh.
Really?
Where Jesus was born. Uh-huh. Where the X crosses in that X, there are 9, it's either 8 or 9, and I think it's 9 cities that are named Nineveh. And there's this big, huge thing going on with what all's going to happen on April 8th. Some big catastrophes, it's a bunch of stuff going on some of the shadow channels. But yeah. But 9 cities, and there's something that happened with the last a total eclipse that had the X somewhere that had significant things.
Wasn't the last one centered in what is that called, where they do the music festival right here in California, down south? Coachella, wasn't that the epicenter or the last eclipse? I believe it was.
Well, that was a partial, I think.
Okay.
I don't think we've had, I think that may have been a partial. That's when they had that big flood and all that terrible stuff that all of a sudden came out of absolutely nowhere with their little equipment.
Yeah. Another weird tidbit I heard today is that this is like, I don't know, on record, I'm sure it's happened before, but this year Easter will fall on Fool's Day, April Fool's Day.
That's right. That's right.
Weird. I saw it's like yeah. Everybody's kind of going, kind of side eyeing that, with in regards to, the significance of Easter. It's kind of interesting. I don't know what it means, though.
But if you think about it, it depends on what calendar you use. Because what's the other calendar? You have the Gregorian and the other one. A really ancient calendar, there's 13 days difference. Hmm. So Easter would be 13 days later from now. So nobody really knows what day Jesus rose. But, it's kind of that I find interesting.
Yeah,
I always thought Easter was Easter, and that's the day they figured Jesus was, risen. And it's like, I just was reading, it's like, oh, well, silly of me, I guess, but isn't that weird?
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, this is the talk about going to the deep end of the pool here, but the whole, that whole theory on Jesus's millennium reign already happening, and now we're actually in the whatever it's called, Satan's little season or whatever. It's pretty wild.
The 1,000 years.
Yeah, that's so wild, because when you kind of triangulate all these old world buildings, and they're all always like a cathedral style, church, we call them churches, but it's pretty obvious in my opinion that this was some sort of technology, that these buildings were some sort of energy harvesting or a conscious amplifying thing or something that we had, You know, like I said last week.
You listened to Cat Williams on Joe Rogan, didn't you?
No, dude, there's so many people talking about this stuff.
Yeah,
but there's no bathrooms. What's that?
They were energy generators. You know, they all had that. I can't think of the geometric name, the specific name of it. Intern probably could because it's mathematical, but it's that certain round. It's a you see it, and it looks like windows, like church windows in these cathedral buildings you're talking about. And then they have the spires on the top. And mm-hmm. then there's a booklet about it being that's how they generated their energy. Those weren't churches. Those were, you know, energy generating, like, yep. you know, your power companies.
Yeah, I mean,
they apparently have proof of this.
Well, Tesla, it makes, that's what I was going to say.
Dude,
Tesla had that theory. He must have read it somewhere.
Guess where he allegedly studied right before he came back with the new technology. He was over in Turkey in that area studying these ancient buildings. He comes back and develops ether energy that's literally, you know, free energy out of the atmosphere. He's just collecting this, like, magnetic, you know, I don't know what you even want to call it. But anyway, when you get back to the Millennium Rain thing, it's kind of weird when you start thinking of that, because it feels like, you know, we're degenerating. It doesn't feel like we're advancing. You know what I mean? We were just talking about the moon stuff, you know, and Elon's rocket that can't even make it back here. And we supposedly went to the moon 50 years ago, 7 times flawlessly.
Well, come on. But if we are biblical readers, it's supposed to be degenerating.
That's what I'm.
It's supposed to be, you know, like when, what's his name, John Lennox talks about when people say, scientists look, the universe is shrinking, it's gonna just be destroyed. He's like, well, to a Christian, we know that because there's gonna be a new heaven, a new earth. We know that this universe and this earth is going to be destroyed, and we're gonna have a new one. Mm-hmm. So to us, it's not new. You know, we're expected to wait for it.
I guess the angle I'm tripping on lately is the deceiver.
Oh, he's working.
It's working. And
he's
working, dude. Guess what is the ultimate deception that you could pull on people? Screw their timeline up. Lie to them about their past and the actual timeline that we're structuring pretty much everything on and off of. That's what you would go after. You know, you would call the dark ages, you would call the actual light ages the dark ages.
Whoa.
And that's what, you know, it's like, I don't know.
It's interesting.
Well, they have a 25-point plan that is a perfect plan that they have had in place for centuries. And if the facts were known since Babylon, but we are in a spirit war. And people, you know, when you look and say, well, okay, people are going crazy. People are going nuts. Our governments don't make sense. And it's not just us, it's worldwide. We are having, and, you know, we're actually a spiritual being and having a bodily experience. But when you look at it on a spiritual level, you can see, when you stand back and say, oh my God, this is a spiritual war. You've got all these demonic things that are coming up. You've got,
the easiest one to recite. Everyone's saying what's good is bad and what's bad is good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's openly. And that's just like the book of Revelation says. Yeah. What's good is bad and bad is good. What is in the Bible too.
Yeah.
It's true. And all of that is coming true. All of it. So I don't think we're in the 1,000-year peace period yet. I don't think that's even close. I think we're heading way down.
Yep.
On a spiritual level so far that people, unfortunately, you know how things always take a while to catch up to you? The flu starts and then it takes months to, you know, really metastasize and stuff. It's like we're at the cusp of some really bad stuff, but by always when that stuff hits, it hits quick. And people always go, oh my God, I didn't see that
one. I agree with you because I believe I got whatever they call the COVID. I got it in 2018. And I got super sick, like I've never had gotten sick before. And it was the same symptoms everybody was saying about this COVID. Had the illness for a month and a half, couldn't shake it off. And then when COVID supposedly came in and they told my wife that she had she was positive and I had a negative test. How can we sleep in the same bed and smooch and everything and I have a negative test? Doesn't make any sense.
Those tests are never reliable. And those tests are absolutely horrific. You never, ever, ever want to take one of those tests.
No,
those tests have bad stuff in them.
Well, not only that, the stupid questions they ask you. Do you have body aches? I'm telling the lady, I'm 48 years old, been working in manufacturing for 20 plus years.
Yes,
I have body aches.
check this, since you brought up the vaccine stuff. This was on an actual Bitcoin podcast, TFTC, which I would highly recommend it. It's pretty sweet. But this is, I'm going to find his name, Kevin McKernan, talking about, he's kind of like a scientist dude, but check this out. Is it going to come through? Not going to come through.
You're slow today, Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's not playing because I'm using my phone for the Bluetooth. Because it probably doesn't know how to play both at the same time. So never mind. But he was basically talking about how he's at a conference. And one of the guys, this guy is basically doing studies on the insurance, the health insurance claims going up and all that stuff. And he talked to a guy that basically had this whole paper in the study on how the vaccines affect your... I think it's your hippocampus, and it basically makes you docile and makes you more agreeable, more less confrontational.
Absolutely.
It freaked me out because it was like, you know, the people that you see that they cannot admit that there was a problem here.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
And so, and that would, you know, if you took it, it's very hard for you to admit, oh man,
it's not even that, but I've had this conversation with my 19-year-old son who just got out of high school, and man, did they program these kids, dude, to look at things exactly as the way you were pointing out right now, that what's the big deal of it? You don't understand that this, you know, trying to downplay whatever happened for the last 3 years. And it's just seems like he's reading a play-by-play of whatever they taught him.
Mm. It's part of that 25-point plan. You know, you don't use one thing. You use a combination of things. One of the big ways, I just watched this on one of the channels I sub to, and it's so true, you know, that if you look and see what's been going on, not just for the last 3 years, although that certainly, I think, comes to the surface and makes the prior years, you know, more relevant. When you look and say that they use fear porn, and it's a known fact that, you know, our government, they're pros. They know, just like Satan, and that's where, you know, a lot of Satan lives, is in government. And, you know, they know how to use fear porn. They know how to hypnotize you. They know how to use subliminals, which, by the way, are illegal, and they're using them, of course. And they know how to stick with this plan, and then they use the chaos, and then they use the wars, and then they use the money, the economy, the food, and all these fires. And all of that is designed to make us into a zombie.
Well, right now, if you listen to the studies of out of Great Britain and the UK, the young people are afraid to speak out because they're afraid to be singled out or pushed out of social media, kind of like the same thing back in the days. If you would speak against the Pharisees, they would kick you out of the synagogues. Yep. So you didn't have any contact with your friends or family. And so a lot of these young people, because they're seeing how the government's going after so many people, they're afraid now, and their social life would be annihilated. And a lot, to them, that's all they have.
That's why depression is increasing. Suicides are increasing. All of these things that they're working and they're doing, or what I should say, not they, Satan, what the devil is doing and his minions, all of this is truly making us into zombies. Back in the 60s, our federal government and the Army did a study, and it was called the Zombie Papers or something like that. I don't quite remember, but they did, they've done all these things to different countries and different cultures. And, you know, this is not their first go at it.
Oh.
And they're experts. They're very good. They're experts. And what they're doing is employing all of this strategy to turn us into zombies. You get to the point, you know, it's like a severe depression where you just freeze.
Well, you tell you what, Gil, for the first time in my adult life, I have no faith in the election. They're working. It worked. I have no faith in
it.
For the first time in my life.
Very crooked.
Here you go. Here you go. Here you go. Con Op 8888, the April 30th, 2011 document was written as part of a fictional training scenario for junior officers undergoing training.
Exactly, and it wasn't fiction. But yeah, it was
Okay, so I want to move on to intern. Are you still over there?
I think you went to sleep.
Okay.
You could barely hear him.
Oh, really?
You
can
barely hear me.
There we go. There's that nice.
So I'm going to move on to this subject so that he can engage with our conversation. Hold on one second.
You're good.
Don't sweat me. Keep going on. You guys are having fun.
That's good.
Guys and gals, something like that.
You have to force behaviors. And at BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors.
So this is current news here, guys. So here we go. Brought to you by Tucker Carlson.
The majority of House Republicans amazingly just aligned with the Biden administration on one of its top priorities to ban the social media app TikTok. This amounts to the most far-reaching act of censorship in the history of the United States. It's an attack on the right of American citizens to receive their information from any source they choose. Most of us believe that was a fundamental right. But of course, almost no one in Washington will admit that that's happening. That's not at all what's going on, they tell us. No. Instead, they're framing what's very obviously censorship as an act of self-defense against a foreign adversary. And if that sounds familiar, it should be. It's the same rationale they used to spy on Donald Trump, among other things, once they designated him a tool of Russia. And as always, they're doing all of this in the bluntest, least restrained terms, because it's your fault, actually. Quote, "Voting against the bill is a vote for the Chinese Communist Party," proclaimed neocon Congressman Dan Crenshaw, the Nikki Haley of Texas. Quote, "The opponents of this bill aren't defending free speech. They're defending Chinese access to American data and American minds. Not a good look. You're a bad American if you don't agree with me," says Dan Crenshaw.
This is the part
and
of the
rest
monologue
of the liars
I like
said
here.
Similar things.
Check it out.
And maybe some of them believed it. That is possible, given the median IQ in the Congress. But just for a moment, let's consider their argument rationally. Let's just assess it for a moment. The federal government very much wants to protect us and our children from China. That's what they're telling us. Now, let's assume for a moment that that's true. And let's further assume that the Chinese government is, in fact, a greater threat to our happiness and well-being than our own government is.
Here we go.
That's a stretch if you think about it. In fact, it's totally unsupported by evidence of any kind. But for the sake of argument, let's just stipulate that that is, in fact, true. So if you were in charge, how would you go about protecting the United States from China? Let's see. The first thing you would do is prevent the CCP from buying American farmland and controlling our food supply. That way, the Chinese government, a government they claim is our greatest enemy, would not have the power to starve our population to death. That would be key. You'd get right on that. Of course, you'd also want to make sure that the CCP had zero control over our water, or energy, or communications infrastructure, basic elemental things, things you couldn't live without. You wouldn't want the Chinese anywhere near those things. You would not allow it. Those would be the first priorities on your list. And then you would make certain that the Chinese didn't control your economy. You would not, for example, export your entire industrial base to China, simultaneously making them rich and you poor. You would not do that.
Thank you, Tucker.
Nor would you allow them to hold a meaningful portion of your debt. That would be reckless as hell. You wouldn't allow the Communist Party of China to send billions to your most prestigious universities, thereby gaining control of the minds of the next generation of your leaders. And needless to say, you would not allow.
So powerful. That like one of the most powerful monologues I've heard, and he's only about halfway in.
Sorry. Oh, wow.
Citizens by the tens of thousands to invade your country over your southern border. That would be insane. You would furthermore keep Chinese citizens out of medical, scientific, and R&D facilities. You definitely would not fund their bio labs or cover up for them when they unleashed killer viruses on the world. No, you wouldn't. Why would you do that? And then on questions of foreign policy, you would not spend a ton of time worrying about Taiwan. It's far away. And honestly, who cares? No. Because you don't have all the money in the world or all the time in the world, you would narrow down your priorities. And you would spend your energy and military might on your own hemisphere, where you and your population actually live. The people you want to protect, they live in the Western Hemisphere. So you would not allow the Chinese government to colonize pretty much every country in the Americas, including Canada and Mexico. No. And you certainly wouldn't let the Chinese, of all people, build the infrastructure in places that you directly control, like the supposedly American Virgin Islands, where the roads are paid for by China. That would be crazy and humiliating and very easy to stop. You wouldn't have to put up with that, so you wouldn't put up with it, not for a second. And just to make sure that China understood you're doing all you could to protect your own people, because that was really your goal, because being Dan Crenshaw, you really care about your own people and your own country. Because of that, you would immediately shoot down any spy balloon from China that floated over Montana. Obviously, that's some of what you would do. And yet, somehow, the U.S. government, even Dan Crenshaw, who really cares about your children, protecting them from China, has done none of that and has no plans to do any of that ever.
We could add fentanyl to that.
Okay, so what is the reason?
What else could we add?
What is the reason they want to ban TikTok then?
Okay, yeah, that's the question.
Yeah.
Hold that question. We're going to get back to that. Intern? He left. Dang. I think I bored him with Tucker. But anyway, go back to your, I was going to try to get his angle on TikTok.
My question is, he's giving, obviously, real points, right? I mean, he also didn't bring up how they're building factories in Mexico to avoid our tariff taxes, mm-hmm. and to ship from and take advantage of NAFTA, mm-hmm. and ship their goods here. He didn't bring that up in the conversation. And it's not only China we've been selling. A lot of the gear manufacturing factories here have been selling their equipment off to India. You can't make a gear here in Los Angeles. Everything is all the old generation guys are selling their shops, and a lot of the guys who are buying them are from India. We have been outsourcing our, and it's a word now in manufacturing.
Oh yeah,
outsourcing our jobs out to other countries.
They literally
years.
They literally pat themselves on the back as they're outsourcing. They love it.
Yeah.
The companies, you're like, what are you guys doing? But anyway,
and so in the conversation about our agriculture, we've been hearing about the Chinese companies going in and buying chicken and especially pork factories and farms, and then selling their product cheaper than the family farms and killing family farms. They can't compete with them, and so
Missouri outlawed. Any, she's gone in and going to take control. Well, maybe it's not Missouri.
That lady, what's Trump. Her name?
No, that to the governor.
Yeah, that lady, what's her name?
Can't think of it, but yeah, she's taking the farms back from China in her country.
Yeah, but you see Michigan and everybody else gladly giving it to them.
Yeah, I know.
So,
they own it. And they have so much of our debt, but they're fixing to sink us 100% financially. If you've got money in the bank, I'd take it out. I'll tell you what, but because they won't buy any more of our debt. No, we cannot unload our debt.
I told Hollywood years ago that 2008 was a wake up call for them because they had so much money in our economy at that during the housing and all that crazy economy that we had all those bubbles. That when it crashed, it really scared the bejeebies out of China. And if you see the way they've been attacking and making sure that never happens to them again, since 2008 till the present time, they've been working that exactly where they're not dependent on us anymore.
We can't
threaten by saying, hey, you know what? We're going to boycott buying your stuff.
Let's try to get the intern's
is he back?
Perspective here. I think cool. I failed completely on him over here. So, are you still over there?
I am here, my friend.
There we go.
Ask him.
So, what's your feelings on TikTok.
I wish social would go away.
Yeah, that is the only answer, the only right answer, probably. Yeah,
it allows rumor and gossip to spread so quick. It takes over reality before reality ever has a chance to set in. It's kind of depressing.
What
that's pretty solid, bro.
About yeah. Why do you think the government all of a sudden wants to take it away?
They want to control it. They don't want to take it away. And since they can't control it, what's their other option, buddy?
Because they can. You're right. Because they can go into Facebook. We already know that. They can go into Twitter. We already know that.
Not anymore, but
please.
Come on. Anybody who thinks electronics are safe and you're not going to get an STD is lying to you.
Mm-hmm. It's a whole different STD
everything
now.
Everything could happen to anybody out there. And the rules don't apply to the big players. And they could pretty much smash anything you own and just grab it. It's not, you wouldn't even know.
So would you remove TikTok, intern?
I don't TikTok.
But do you think it's a threat?
How does a company make money? Think about it. Where do they get their cash from? They get it from mining information. Oh, yeah. Whomever they sell it to, it's just profit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Throw their information into it. They throw their pictures in. They throw everything in, yeah. And it's all mineable.
Willingly. Yeah, the angle.
That's where the new money is.
The angle, the no agenda angle is that, you know, it's Facebook and all these guys that are actually going after TikTok because they're losing really bad to ad revenue on there. So they're wanting to go at them that way and kind of eliminate competition. But my angle is that I see how hard they're pushing on this misinformation, disinformation thing when it comes to voting in elections. And I see TikTok and Twitter is like the two outlets where you can still kind of speak. You know, you can still get flagged or whatever in TikTok. But, you know, there's...
It's all the same shit, buddy. You can't get out and say your own word. And
but like...
reciprocal, you can't trust the word you hear.
Like, yeah, Facebook will literally...
I agree with you 100%.
They won't let you post stuff. Like, it won't even let you type, you know, election fraud or whatever. You know, it just denies that.
You can listen to the podcast listen to and how very careful they are about presenting something on their show, mm-hmm. especially if it's COVID. They won't say COVID. They'll say, you know, that thing we went through 3 years ago. Or they're very afraid of any of the algorithms, especially YouTube. If you pick up, you can't even say the word murder. You can't even say the word
it's all black run by suspect. AI, right?
But who programs the AI?
Yep.
Who programs the AI?
Satan.
The company's compliance officer, more likely.
But they got to have a big group of that, right? I mean, or not big. But, well,
there's one muckety muck in charge of it, I'm sure, but. There's probably dozens, if not hundreds, of people underneath of them, and half of them are probably lawyers.
And there's no safety net. There's no laws that govern any of it.
Yeah. No, there's that I'm aware of. The only laws that really govern that are where the data is stored, right? So the U.S. has laws over data storage. China has separate laws over data storage. India has the same. So, you know, if you sign up for some foreign texting service out of Japan or China or Russia, you know, your data is going to be stored there. If you sign up for Twitter, at least it's stored in the U.S., more than likely, maybe in like other countries that we're like partners with, but.
Tucker.
So you mean my stuff from Spotify is in Ireland? Damn it.
It's possible. Yeah. I see logs all day long. All over the world, I should say.
Tucker interviews Rand Paul on TikTok right after this. And he goes on to discuss, he's got all the details on TikTok and how it is not, you know, and this is Rand Paul. You know, if he's saying this, I definitely trust. He's like one of the few that I kind of trust. He goes on to say that it's not controlled by China. It's, you know, he breaks down the percentages that it's controlled by. I think 20% of it is controlled by U.S. people. The cloud is in Texas. Basically, they've done everything they can to try to be compliant with the government, the U.S. government, and not have any, you know, attachment to the CCP. But it's, you know, like you said, the whole thing is, to me, and it comes back to free speech, you know, because they're going to go after Twitter. They're going to go after Rumble. If they take down TikTok,
well, did it,
it's just going to be a matter Rumble, of time before they go
the
to
owner
the next
of Rumble
one.
Has tried to buy TikTok.
It's already done.
They already bought it?
Rumble?
No, I'm saying they've already took down all the internet providers. They've already took down all of the social media providers. Like, anything you think is secure is not. They just don't advertise it.
Dude, remember
I
had an article, and I didn't play it last week on the Super Tuesday morning. What is it? 15 different states voting all in the same day. All the social medias went down that day in that morning. So right before the election, right before you walk in to do your ballot, honor
my offices, I could shut all that crap down.
Whatever
I want. Wow. Yeah.
And
it's not a big deal. Like, it's just a simple blocking. I just key in a couple commands and the thing's done. Then I revert it back and what? It must have been a glitch.
I've always heard, what I've heard about TikTok was the terms and conditions that they have for you to use it. And that is very evasive, that it pretty much permits itself that anything that's in your tower, they have access to it.
That's
if you're using TikTok.
That's any app, yeah.
I understand that, mm-hmm. but they are telling you that on their terms and conditions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you read other terms and conditions for other?
Yeah.
Have you read them for Google?
Yeah, I tell people the camera on your phone, it tells you that you don't own the pictures. You don't, if you use your phone, and obviously if you're using Android, it's Google, the terms and conditions of your camera tells you that when you take a picture that you don't own that image anymore, they do. And then if you try to bring up your picture, it's already updated in the cloud. It takes a while for your phone to bring down the picture. You don't own the picture.
I don't know if that's 100% true, but
look up the term and conditions.
Show it to me. I'm happy to read it.
Well, it says it in my Google. When you look up at your, you can look it up on your phone and look up Google's term and conditions for you, because that phone, the camera is an app. It's not part of your phone. They own it.
But I think their intent of what they might mean, and I'm not sure, you probably know a lot more about that, intern, but isn't it that just the data that they get and they own? You do own the picture, but they own the data, right?
It depends on how the copyright's written, would be my only real advice right now. I'm curious to read up
the reason
Mutt Dog's referring to.
The reason I'll do it. The reason you don't own that is because if they need to get into your phone to get criminal information off of picture on your phone, they can.
Well,
they're going to just come in and take it, you know.
The reason I'm bringing this up is about 3 to 4 years ago, there was a lawsuit against Apple because a son was suing Apple because the dad, when he passed away, gave him his iPod and all his music collection. And Apple went and said, no, you can't give it as an inheritance to your son because you don't own the music.
Dang.
All you have is the right. Yes, it went to court. So
there's plenty of artists out there that are making money taking pictures with their iPhone.
No, I understand.
I guarantee Apple's not fighting them on it.
Okay,
they're not
the condition,
arguing over copyright.
This particular case was about the music that was on the iPod. And that
I'm not talking about music, though.
Well, this is what I'm talking about. And so when the son was suing to get his father's music collection, Apple went and cock-blocked it.
Remember,
and said, you don't own it.
Probably all downloaded from Kazaa.
That's what I was just going to say. Remember when they were going to go after everybody and
when you get music for Apple, you actually buy the music. But they say even though if you gave them money to buy the music, you don't own the music.
Wait, pause. That's the caveat. If you purchase from an online reseller of whatever it might be outside of a physical media, you are buying the license to use that, not own that media. That does not necessarily apply to photos.
Exactly. That's why the son couldn't inherit his dad's music collection on his iPod.
Well, they couldn't vouch for it, and You know, if he would have had the password, it wouldn't have been an issue.
Of course he had the password.
If he would have downloaded it all from iTunes, he would have had no problem.
But again, it's a lawsuit that went out there.
I could have got around that, buddy. That wouldn't have been an issue. Like, I could have worked through that one.
How did the state even find out about his iPod? That is crazy.
iPods are outdated now anyway. They haven't been in circulation since, the early 2000s.
I still have
it's the whole thing I've always said about the Kobe Bryant rape case the reason he got out of it is because AT&T keeps storage your text messages, and they brought up the girl's text messages, and that's how Kobe Bryant got off the rape charges.
And hold on, make sure you be specific. It was anal rape.
Whatever.
Two. Just so you, we got to lay all these info out for people.
There's been a lot of cases up like that where, yes, they own your, like you said, they own your data. They own your messages.
There's lines you got to draw. There are things that you could assume, and there are things that you need to imply, right? The works of art that you could generate on an iPhone, whether you save them in your photos or not, with whatever application that there is on your phone or not, are technically works of art done by you. Like, they're creations. They are something physical that you have built. And your copyright and your rights to those files are not being held at bay.
Well, then
Apple doesn't steal the images off of your phone to sell them to somebody else. They don't tell you that.
Well, then these court cases
they have to
must
use your
have been
info
some...
in a case for court. I don't think I'd have an issue with that.
Why not?
The more information you have in a court case, the more facts, like physical pieces of information that are non-negotiable, the better the outcome is in regards to the truth, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Faked, I get that.
But again, if you're buying a record off or a digital copy of a record from...
It's not yours.
Want that. That's the point. But you're still exchanging money for it. How do you not own it?
You're renting it or leasing guess might be the better way. It's kind of like a cemetery plot. You know, you pay into a trust.
But then again, that's why... Again, I've read the terms and conditions of the camera on my phone. And if you read the one on your phone... Mm-hmm. It'll say exactly what I said, that you don't own the images.
We did this. Yeah. So you guys are all for TikTok allowing to stay the way it is? Is that what I'm hearing?
I just know that the government will bulldoze this one, and am okay kind of letting them tromp all over it, because I don't use the service and don't care about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't either, and I just, like I told you, I took YouTube off my phone, too, because of exactly for the same
relevance thing. Factor, right?
No. Yeah. No, honestly, it's like the same thing, reason why I don't get on, I would have been 20 years since I've been on Facebook. Just, I don't like, it's just because you can see the same thing was happening there, too.
Mm-hmm. The last social account I think I signed up for was MySpace.
I don't know enough information about the issue personally to make a determination or a judgment, I suppose. But I do know this. Anytime our government tries to do anything these days, I know that it's a bad thing, because mm-hmm. it's the opposite that we need to pay attention to. They don't do anything on our behalf. They don't do anything.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. They're like the distraction, so you don't see what they're actually doing.
Yeah, anybody they go after, or you know, anything that they say is bad, wrong. It's like, no, it's the opposite. And I have to question that, but I don't know. No, I don't know enough about it.
You made a good point there, which is you brought it. It's true. They're letting you see this, but what they're really doing?
What are they hiding?
Exactly.
The shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back. so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. Yep. It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
Yep.
You and I are not in the big club.
There you go.
No, I agree. I told you I went to reapply for a company I used to work for, and they didn't pay very well, but their benefit package was awesome. Went back and interviewed to them, and they were kind of belittling what they were paying. And I told them, well, this company isn't known to pay, but your benefit package is really good. And they shook their heads, but nah, our benefit kind of sucks now too. I'm like, okay, so dude, that's...
Sorry. Intern, I keep turning down your channel when my clip is done, and I forget you're on that channel too. Sorry about that.
That's okay. I wasn't talking.
Perfect. Here's some more. Quit talking. Here's some more current events that are.
I'm a lively live wire.
That we can.
Yes, you are, buddy.
We can do what I like to do the most, which is speculate. Come on, I'm clicking it.
Dozens of people were injured on a flight from Australia to New Zealand due to a technical issue on a Boeing 787. It's followed by the news that a former Boeing employee who blew the whistle on alleged safety problems has been found dead. Officials say 62-year-old John Barnett died Saturday from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. Barnett recently testified against Boeing in a whistleblower lawsuit. He worked at Boeing for over three decades. Boeing expressed its condolences. Boeing has been under scrutiny since the fatal crashes of the Boeing 737 MAX in 2018 and 2019.
Hmm. He got flattened.
It's like the intern said, it was a glitch.
Five Finger Death Pod.
Sorry, that's the problem with... I got to figure out how to get you just on your own channel is what I need to figure out.
But it's like you said, intern, it's a glitch. It's a glitch, a controlled glitch.
There's lots of those, buddy. When you expose everything to the wilds, why do you expect it not to happen?
Out of all the people, the intern said something No Agenda always says and talks about these interesting glitches all of a sudden.
Hey, Gail, well, do you listen to podcasts very much?
You're talking to me, right?
Not a lot.
Gail.
Not a lot. I only have the phone, so.
Yeah, you can, you know, get it on your phone and put on your headphones, but I was just going to give another plug, just like Mud Dog was saying.
Make sure Good Time Culture Podcast is the first one you have on your phone.
But it's called No Agenda with, and it's the Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak, and they've been basically media assassins
for
15 plus years. And
I love it. Right down my alley.
You'd really like it. It's basically, it's what this show wants to be, but it's never gonna be. But they're awesome.
Don't say that.
Well, that's okay. No. You gotta be humble.
John Dvorak is like the intern, but they're old pros. Version of the intern. He's a tech guy too.
Yeah. And but they've been covering the whole not vaccine, but all these outbreaks we've had, you know, Ebola, what's the shrunken head
measles.
One? The measles now. But they're covering all these in for 10 years straight. So when COVID came, it was literally the same playbook.
Yeah.
You know, these guys, you know, were covering it going, this is exactly, and they always kind of took it as a money grab. You know, it's just like a big money grab.
But, it was.
This was
well, that is the all, but yeah.
Yeah, this was definitely, there was a, like you said, a spiritual aspect to this. This one too.
I was thinking about this whole idea of vaccines curing everything. It runs along with the same theory of our food, right? Like our cereals that have all this thium and all these things that they say we have to eat for us to be healthy, and they add all these artificial whatever vitamins they say, or you know,
fortified
or whatever, you know, and oh, you got to have this, you know, and they put it into cereal, you know, calcium. Hey, we'll put calcium in the cereal.
Food too. Pyramid.
Yeah.
Look at the food pyramid.
So this whole idea, it seems to be carried around in many different things in our lives, you know?
So you,
what shocks me, absolutely stuns me, is that you don't hear many people, although I have seen an uptick on Twitter, even discussing the bioengineered ingredients.
Oh,
Oh my God. And you're worried about GMOs. GMO is really, really bad. But okay, sodium phosphate, calcium phosphate. How many times do y'all see that on your canned food or your packaged food?
How about just
that can cause damage, death. You know, it's like the stuff that they put in our food here is so toxic.
My pet peeve right now is soybean, is how they put soy in everything. You can't buy a bread product. I've been really nerding out and making my own pizza dough and things like that, and learning about flours and bread and things like that. Our flour is not permitted to be sold in Japan, Europe, like Italy, countries like Mexico. They will not accept our grains.
No. I don't buy commercial flour or cornmeal anymore. It all has bioengineered ingredients. It's bromated. It has chemicals in it. I don't buy that, and I don't use it anymore.
No. Look at the bag of gold medal flour compared to, say, King Arthur's flour, you see all the enrichments and bleach and crap they put into the flour that is people don't even understand. Again, since I've been making my own pizza – where I'm controlling what I'm adding into my ingredients, I can eat a large pizza and not feel bloated like if you go buy a Domino's pizza. Whatever they're adding to that dough is horrible.
Oh, it is. It's all toxins, and it's a lot of GMOs. It's a bioengineered ingredients. I challenge you to go to any grocery store, and within the third item you pick up, you're going to see it says bioengineered ingredients in it now.
Try and find an item that doesn't have soybean or soybean oil.
It sucks, too, because you used to be able to go, like, around the edge of the grocery store, and you could get actual real food, you know, the meat and produce section. Yeah. Now, you're right, the meat comes from Argentina, the vegetables all come from other countries.
Well, you can buy bread that doesn't have soybean, but that's going to be $7 for a loaf instead of the $2 for the loaf.
So,
and you don't want to buy any fruit that has the appeal label, the Bill Gates label, because that's a toxin. It's actually a neurotoxin, and it can't be washed off. It cannot be washed out.
I don't even know about
quite toxic.
Appeal? That's... What is that?
It's a coating that he's putting on the fruit.
It's a neurotoxin, and it sinks into the flesh of the fruit. He's mainly putting it on fruit. He started putting it on vegetables, but it's quite toxic. And you can't, of course, you know, it's like unless you get organic. I don't know if you guys, you know, like even, I'm going to get some potatoes and grow some potatoes, but you have to get organic because they treat our other food with toxins that you can't grow. You can't, you know, take a spike or a piece of it and grow, you know, more potatoes. You can only do that with some organic.
Gail, you heard, I think you spoke about it on some show previous with Hollywood about the yield that you're getting out of your seeds. They're reducing it. Where your seeds are producing.
Yeah, you have to buy organic seeds now, believe it or not. It's like organic seeds, you know, and they call them something else too, you know, like they're generational, you know, and you know they're safe and they don't have the toxins, the GMOs, all the other crap, the bioengineered ingredients. Do you know why we're having so many male children, younger, some older, saying that they're female and female saying that they're male? It's the toxins in our food. And that's been proven. There's scientific evidence. Go to the National Institutes of Health and their research and library department, and you'll find where some of these toxins I've been talking about, they fed them to frogs. Well, and the frogs changed genders. And one case, they all turned male. And it's frightening, and that's what we're eating.
Not to repeat myself, but I'm going to. Now that I'm making my own bread and my own dough, I can tell you the difference. And just that. Because I've been very picky about what I'm adding to my ingredient, into my dough. And
I don't even eat commercial bread anymore. It's too toxic.
Oh, heck yeah.
Well, not sourdough. Sourdough usually is okay.
Well, again, I'd rather, like I told Hollywood, I don't even buy yeast anymore. I create my own already. you know?
Yeah, I do too, and I do biscuits and stuff. I just, you can't, go find cake mix. Go find cake mix that doesn't have bioengineered ingredients in it. You know, cereals, like you said, that have toxins in them.
Yep.
Killing stuff.
Yep, yep. All right, man. That was fun. You know, I love talking about cooking and baking.
So we can go into, I got a little bit of political news, or we can go into weird news. What do you guys want to do?
Whatever you want, bro. We got to have one of the little wheels that go prrrr until.
Let's do one of each.
One of each.
Let's do one of each.
One of each. Let me get
the intern.
Let me get the intern back in here. Hold on. I will get a clip going here. This is North Carolina's potential governor, Mark Robinson. This is an old clip, but I thought it was...
Did he really have a chance?
Yeah, dude, he got the Republican nomination.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know who he's running against and how much of a chance he's got on the whoever's running against him, but this is a two-year-old... video that is man,
2 years, bro.
Dude, it's so it's poignant though. Here we go.
Here's something else I'm not supposed to say. Ain't but two genders.
This is on a Bryson Gray song,
two genders. Ain't nothing but men and women. And I can already see WRL out there. They got their licking their pencils right now, trying to write fierce as they can. Get every word of this here. Get every word of this. You can go to the doctor and get cut up. You can go down to the dress shop and get made up. You can go down there and get drugged up. But at the end of the day, you were just a drugged up, dressed up, made up, cut up man or woman. You ain't changed what God put in you, that DNA.
Amen.
You can't transcend God's creation. I don't care how hard you try. The transgender movement in this country, if there's a movement in this country that is demonic and that is full of the spirit of Antichrist, it is the transgender movement. It's time for grown-ups and time for Christians to start standing up and being unafraid to tell the truth. Come after me if you want to. I don't care. You want my head? Here it is right here. Come on, come get it. I don't care because it's time for us to stand up. Now I'm not afraid to stand up and tell the truth about that issue.
It's like our kids. Like the good book says, dude, you can't be afraid of man. You got to be afraid of one who's going to judge you after you die. That's who you're afraid of.
Yeah, I mean it's a very fascinating subject to me because like obviously I was kind of a libertarian for a long time until I
walked away from the show.
No, well, no, I noticed I was kind of a hypocrite where, you know, even though I believe that everybody should have the right to do what they want to do in the privacy of their own home, you know, if there is drug dealing going on across the street or prostitution going on across the street or, you know, transgenders in your libraries or whatever, then I got a problem with that. You know, I'm not okay with that. And so it was kind of a weird thing for me to, you know, I'm not a Republican, but I definitely backed away from the libertarian thing as much as I believe in 90% of it. Those, victimless crimes that they always talk about, those are fine if they're not in your neighborhood, but if they're like across your street, then you're like, dude, that's a problem. You know,
it's all about perspective.
but the audacity of those movements saying that our country or like Israel is not tolerated to them. When you look at countries like Africa, countries in Africa that outright banned it. If you're a homosexual, you're a TRT, you will go to prison. You got Muslim countries that will kill you over it, and they accuse us that we're intolerable of it, but yet,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
No, it's just about just speaking up. Oh, man, dang it, I did it again.
Did you lose him?
No, but I turned down the clip volume, and I forget that he's on that channel. So he's probably been pushing back this whole time. He's like, man.
Well, I've been asking questions.
Dang it. Okay, so go. We'll give you the floor.
No, I just want to know why the transgender being lumped in with criminals. Like, what did they do wrong to you or your friends or your family or those around them? Like, how do they affect them in a negative fashion outside of visual or possibly, like, the whole sexual kind of kiss or whatever the hell transpires between couples?
Well,
on a personal level, I don't have any problem with it. On a biblical level and a spiritual level, I believe in the Bible. And I believe in God. I believe in God's word. I don't believe in the Bible. I believe in God's words. And so I think for me, it's taken me a long, long time to get to this point, because I've always been a hippie, you know, live and let live. Well, not always, but again, though, it's not, it's more of a demonic, what I'm seeing now is not a natural type of an involvement. It's more of demon spirits. And those are the ones that don't have a problem going naked in front of children, teaching children how to masturbate, how to have sex with a man, an older man, and all these things, writing these books. It's the pushing it in our face and the demonic aspects of it that truly I disagree with, and I can see there again the spiritual warfare.
And
it's no judgment. There's no personal judgment on my part.
I agree with a lot with everything you just said, Gail. If I may add this part to it, and because I am in the same belief as Gail, is that if it wasn't like we spoke last week, that they brought the fight to us. Me, as a believer, I believe in the judge. And since I believe in the judge, I know that every one of us is going to face the judgment. And okay, but when you start bringing and pushing your lifestyle, like, we have no choice about it. Your kids are going to learn about this lifestyle, whether you like it or not. Just like the vaccine. You're going to take this vaccine, whether you like it or not. It didn't matter. That's the whole point. Now, the choice, whether I want to know about it or do I want to speak to my kids about it, has been taken away from me. And that's, again, the argument. Because at the end of it, just like Gail said, it's not anything personal, because in the God that I believe, we all going to have to face judgment for all our actions. And I'm going to be guilty just as much as they're going to be guilty of it. But again, that's what it normally is.
As far as, you know, your question, kind of like what have they done? You know, like they said, the forcing of words and acceptance, even though
we've never had
it's against your moral and principled faith. And then they do that, which is that you could just brush off and be like, yeah, whatever. I don't really care what you say or whatever. But they literally are putting it into law right now in our own government that if you misgender, if you say something wrong, side-eye them about, you know, them talking
about the cancel culture,
them talking about reading to kids on the weekend or whatever and how fun it was. If you give any side-eye glance, that will be considered a hate crime and you'll go to prison.
The law they just passed.
That's right.
And they're doing that. In turn,
that's demonic, and that is a spiritual. You know, we are in spirit war.
So, it's, like
the absolute,
you know, like I said, if they were going to libraries in normal clothing, not dressed up as clown demons to read to kids,
or naked,
that might be even acceptable. Where it's like, well, they're just a normal looking person; they're not a complete outrageous caricature that's not even really them, because they don't, that's like their performance side or whatever. They don't. And to me, that it's just, you know, you wouldn't have a stripper, a girl stripper go read story time book hour in a library in a bikini. That would not happen. But yet for some reason, a dude that thinks he's a girl can dress like that and go do that, and that is celebrated. So, like, there is no criminal act going on, but the outrageousness and the standard that is being forced to accept, that's the only thing I could say to your question.
And there's always extremes. I can't even imagine the agony and the pain that being gay would be like, because I've never, you know, been gay, but I've had a lot of gay friends, and I can't imagine the agony and the pain, and I don't know how in the world I would deal with it. So how could I ever judge it? Right. But I'm curious, your question, when you've gotten a lot of responses since you've asked your question, where are you now with it? What are you thinking about? I mean, we haven't even given you a chance to say.
Yeah, I think he got disconnected again. Let's see if he signs in
here. Oh, no.
I know this is not working very good here. Are you back?
Oh, no.
Okay. Oh, well. Hopefully he'll chime in here. What's going on with this thing? So this is not working out very well for me.
Well, Gil, I agree. And this is the discussion we had last week. And he asked the same question last week. And like I told him, you know, back in 96 and 98, when they were passing the Marriage Act here in California, you know, it was voted two times in supposedly the most liberal state in the union that they didn't accept gay marriage. And the argument against the gay marriage exception was exactly what is happening now. That's what they were arguing about. But the people who were pro-gay marriage, they were talking about how all they wanted was the benefits. They want the medical benefits. They want the retirement benefits of their significant other. And that was the argument. Well, 30 years later, the anti-gay marriage group, what they were bringing up as an issue to them is now in the forefront right now. So like I continued telling them, we didn't bring this fight to them. They brought the fight to us.
And it's way out of balance. Way out of balance.
Right now, you have a gentleman named Kirk Cameron trying to get into college, into the same libraries to read books to kids, and they're not permitting him to do it.
Did you hear any of that, intern? So he's on here, but it is not playing. So, oh well. Poor guy over there. He's all yelling at us.
That was a great question you had there, Gail. I really wish we could have heard his response.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, I don't know why the Zoom. I'm thinking it might be better if he sends me the Zoom. It's probably the best thing because I got 500 tabs open here. But we'll get into this. I liked. I've been digging on Joe Rogan lately. He had Kevin James on, and they were kind of talking about motivating yourself and you know, how Joe does it. And I thought it was pretty sweet.
You know, he's come out with some good stuff lately.
Okay, so
yes, at least willing to have the conversation.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. I for years and years thought he was sold out, which most of them are. I mean, you know, but I think he may be somewhat. But I think some of the people that have sold out, They're changing their mind. They're like, wait a minute. You know, I can go this far and no further. And I think we're seeing a lot of that today.
Well, I agree with you. And you can see if I may use the word, the maturity of him. He was very agnostic. Yes. And since people that he trusts, like, again, Jordan Peterson and other believers
have gone on.
Yes. And
he was agnostic.
Yeah, they've had these conversations with Joe Rogan where now when he had Cat Williams, Joe Rogan brought up the book of Ezekiel. Out of all the guys, he brought up the book of Ezekiel. And I'm like, wow, 3 years ago, I would never even have thought that he even knew any of the books in the Bible.
Yeah, for real. It's surprising sometimes. The ones that are. I mean, Jordan Peterson's wife was dying of cancer. I mean, they get, there was a death sentence, but they had a prayer thing for her. It was a big deal, and she wound up surviving. And he used to be quite agnostic.
Well,
and he, I used to watch him when he was agnostic many, many, many years ago. 30 years ago or so.
He's
come a long way.
But even if, when he was agnostic, if, when he was first coming on the scenes, he was just playing his classes, and he has the conversations of the book of Genesis. He has a conversation of Noah before he was even a believer. And his conversations and his points were magnificent. Magnificent, even then.
He's brilliant. He truly is.
This is all I want to do. And then it's like, you don't want to suffer. You don't want to put the, you know, the work in. The, you know, that's the difference between we both love jiu-jitsu. Well, to love something, you gotta know it. You have to know it, right? You can't love something you don't know. Well, I love it. But you know what I don't love? Obviously, I don't love the mornings getting the cold gi on. You know, there's things about getting in with a, you know what I'm saying, getting on the mats. They're sweaty. They've been there since like 5 o'clock in the morning. I got to travel to do it. It's going to hurt. These guys are coming after me. You know, it's like, you know, you're in there and it's I'm nervous. And my so I stop. I get back into it. You know, I'll let it go for a while. You do. You go through that and you become – you know, you overcome those little things, and it's like, that's how you grow. It's like, I get right up to the edge of it, and then I'm like, so I don't love it as much as you. It's like, you commit. You have to suffer. You have to suffer. You know, that's the only way you're going to show your love for anything is you got to suffer for it.
I thought that was an interesting angle with faith, too.
May I say this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was just having this conversation with my wife because I've been telling you I've been looking for work and no bites.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the conclusions I came with my wife is how much I love manufacturing.
Yeah,
how much I miss it.
Production's very satisfying.
I love working as a machine. And I told my wife, I know I liked it and I can talk all nerd out, but these 2 years I've been not manufacturing, it's like missing this. There's three things in my life I love. I love my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I love my family and I love machining. It's what I love to do. I can eat. Like, I'm at home just sitting on my ass, twiddling my thumbs. But you see me in a machine shop, bro. I don't stop. Because it's what I can work 12-hour shifts, and it's like working 8 hours for me. Just I love doing it. And I understand what these are, guys, because I've had to put up with people telling me, you ain't shit. You're never going to be this. Learning the jobs, struggling through it, and then going, you know, going there in the mornings cold too, being there in the summer nights, sweating your ass off. But I love it. And I understand what these guys are talking about.
This is the best part right here when Joe gives his motivational feedback.
There's got to be that. You've overcome that. Otherwise, you don't. You died, you know.
You have two people. Everybody has two people inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has the person inside of them that wants to go to sleep.
Right.
The person inside of them that wants to quit.
That guy's winning, by the way. That's the guy who's you see before you right now.
And the other guy that's like, no, this is what you need to do.
Right.
But the problem is with a lot of people, that other guy that's like, no, that's what you need to do, that person's really timid. And that person, they just, well, maybe it'd be better if we just went for a run. Like, shut the fuck up. I'm going to eat chips.
Right.
And that timid version of you is what you need to cultivate into being, like, the boss.
Right.
That's the boss. So I have a boss. My boss is that voice.
Yes.
I let that voice win every time.
I love it.
That voice says, shut the fuck up and get in the cold water, pussy.
That's dying to yourself, man. That's literally saying, I'm not going to go where I'm comfortable. I'm going to, you know, I'd much rather do this. I'm sure much rather do something than jump in a cold plunge every morning, you know, get a cup of coffee and go hang out and talk, you know. You do that, and that's something I need to do more and more. Like we all do. It's like, it's the only way you're going to embrace it and get better at things. I'm trying, literally with flying. Like I used to, I drive everywhere these gigs, and it was getting so much that I'm like, I'm afraid of flying, but I'm like, I got to just die to myself, just do this, have faith, you're going to be fine. Just do it. And each time you do it, you're like, all right, we did it.
Yeah.
And you have a bad flight, and you're like, I'm not doing it again, you know, but it's like, you know, it's...
you just got to give the boss some strength.
Yes.
Yeah, and the boss has to win a bunch of battles, and when the boss wins a bunch of battles and he wins them every day, then eventually the boss becomes a louder voice. And then you get it to the point where the boss gets to tell you what to do and you don't deviate. And even though you have all those feelings, every time I lift the lid on the cold plunge, I'm like, let's not do this. every time. But the boss is like, shut the fuck up. The boss gets mad if those voices pop up. So like, I'll make you do an extra minute, bitch.
Right.
Get the fuck in there.
I love it.
And, you know, there's two pieces of advice I always give comics or just young men in general. Aspire to be the person you pretend to be when you're trying to get laid.
Yeah.
Just be that person.
Yeah.
Instead of pretending to be that person, become that person.
Right.
Become a person.
I really like the two voices in your head thing.
It's true.
Yeah.
As Gail says, a spiritual war, not a fleshly war, dude.
Yep.
Well, it's the truth. I think a lot of people that, you know, would say that that's the holy, you know, when Jesus was resurrected, God poured his Holy Spirit into each and every one of us. And so, you know, I'm just now learning, I'm vegging out absolutely on healers and Andrew Womack and Todd White and the healing. I've had a couple of experiences myself, and it's like, oh my Lord, this is amazing. You know, and when you think and realize that the Holy Spirit, you know, is actually right inside of us, which means God is there and Jesus is there, Yeshua. It's an amazing life transformation when you realize I've already got it all. I'm already healed. I can heal others. We've been commanded to go out and raise the dead and heal others. And then John 14:12, he said, you know, truly I say to you, all these things that I do and have done, you may do in my name, this and much more and much greater. And we just have to, you know, realize that.
It's that word that old Abraham had was faith. And faith is something that, you know, I mean, it's that voice. That voice he's saying, one is faith and the other one is doubt. And sometimes doubt, my goodness, speaks louder than our faith. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to have faith before you can have miracles.
Exactly. What did he say? If you had faith, you can tell that mountain to move and it'll move.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, the impossible.
And that's where a lot of people, you know, have problems with it. But when you step away and you learn to step into it in a different way, because you understand more about how, if people really realize the power, the absolute power and authority that we were given, and we actually took that to heart, which in the Bible, they say being born again, we can work miracles. And I have been here lately.
Well,
I have been.
It's like we have the name of Jesus, and he says, ask me anything in my name.
That's right.
Ask it in
my
name.
And if you're born again, it's yours.
It's yours.
Yes.
And we have that name that's so powerful that one old preacher says, when you guys find out how powerful just the name.
Yeah.
And when you realize that, you have the faith. Oh, I got chills thinking about this. The faith that it grows in. That's why you have to, like he says, you have to go out there and do it. Because it's when you're out there, like I've had miracles of not having a penny. I have mouths to feed, and a lady knocks on my door. I have nothing to feed my kids. A lady comes and knocks my door, brings me two sacks of potatoes. You know, when you don't have nothing, two sacks of potatoes like filet mignon, you know, and you're grateful. Yeah. That's God moving someone's heart to do. And yeah, it's living it and going through tribulations. And that's how your faith grows. And like you said right now, heal me and he will heal you.
Well, it's like the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit as his helper, which means as our helper.
Exactly.
And, you know, when you hear your conscience talking to you, that's your Holy Spirit. When you say, oh, my God, how did I know this? That's your Holy Spirit. And when we step back and look at it in a different way, it's absolutely life-changing.
Well, like you got to listen to it, though.
Yeah. It says in the first letter of Peter, chapter 3, verse 21, it says that... I got all excited right now. It says that, you know, contemplating this, he's all baptism now saves you, not for the cleansing of your flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful?
Is it? Absolutely. I absolutely love it. Absolutely. I've got so many favorites though.
Oh, those are what I call gifts of God. When he lets you memorize a verse, that's a gift.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Or several. I've got a whole bunch of them on healing. I don't know why I've been compelled to go through. Well, I do know why. Been compelled to go through the Bible and underline all the times that the word spirit is there. Mm. And because I'm coming to the real, true, honest God realization, I am a spiritual being having a bodily experience. And when you live inside out like that, that's when you walk with God. That's when you actually take his hand and walk with him, because you realize he's in you. Oh. And that's why I have a huge, major, major problem with man's doctrines and rituals and man's, what I call man's religions. They divide, and they always have. We've had more wars and killing in the name of religion than anything else. And I've gotten more and more away from organized religion and man's rituals and man's crap.
100%.
It's like, you know what the Bible commands us? He said he commands us to take care of his sheep, feed his sheep, and he commands us to go out and heal the sick, raise the dead, do miracles. I mean, and that's it. And love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
And that's it.
It's the one I just read in Matthew where he says, I read in Matthew today or yesterday that, I think, what do I want to say, is chapter 20 or something like that, where he says, you know, if they ask him, okay, Jesus, what do I have to do? I've done everything. It's okay. Remember, O Israel, your God is one. Love your God with all your heart, all your soul, and love your neighbor. Those are it's like, wow, really? That's all. Yeah. And what's love the neighbor is everything you said. Visit the orphan.
And keep my commandment.
Yeah, yeah. And it's
when Jesus died and he said, go out, you know, and raise the dead, heal the sick, and do the miracles, and, you know, in my name. And exactly. And did I tell you about the guy? I told you, didn't I, Hollywood, about the guy at the restaurant that stopped breathing, had a...
No.
And I went over and...
No.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, he came back to life. He came back to life. I felt abandoned in the hands. And, you know, God has been moving me more and more and more and more to these healing and deliverance, demonic deliverance and healing ministries. And he had told me my sister was coming to take me to lunch. And I thought about telling her. I thought, nah, you know. But God had said to me before, when I was getting dressed, he said, there will be an incident at the restaurant today.
Wow.
And, you know, I felt like I was supposed to be there for that. And it's like, I just kind of forgot about it. Well, we went to the restaurant and I heard you have a food bar, right? And the guy fell behind the food bar, so I couldn't see him. But we heard a huge crash and we had just assumed the restaurant, you know, the waitress dropped it. Well, then, you know, I heard somebody crying and I looked over and I didn't see anything again. And then several minutes later, I heard somebody say, he's turning blue. He's not breathing. And the waitress said, is there a medical person here? And nobody got up. So I just immediately ran over. And he was turning blue. He wasn't breathing. I couldn't find a pulse. I was trying to ask the woman, you know, what kind of meds is he on? Does he have heart issues? Has he had a stroke? You know, and she was freaking out. He's dying, he's dead. I mean, it was crazy. Food was all over the floor. I was slipping and sliding. A guy came over to help me. He kept saying, well, I can do CPR. And I said, well, wait, we need to know. This could be an allergic reaction. We didn't know, you know, information. And I finally something told me just lean down and I said, we have to, you know, turn him on his side because I was afraid he was going to aspirate because he was gurgling. And the 911 operator was saying, well, we can't give you advice and you need to put him on his back. And I told the guy that was there helping me, I said, help me get him on his side. He's going to aspirate and get that in his lungs. And so anyway, as I was pulling him, my back hand was on his back. My front was on his heart. And I just felt some heat and it was just, I just said a quick prayer, you know, come back in the name of Jesus, come back. And no, you're not, you know, you're not going.
Wow.
And then Yeah, and then I checked his mouth to make sure, you know, he hadn't swallowed his tongue or anything. And the waitress was saying, well, can we give him, you know, a heart pill? And I said, you have some? And she said, yes. And so I told her, bring him. And she brought me a big handful. And I said, no, just one. And he had blood, you know, all over his mouth. And I thought, he, you know. But anyway, I stuck it in his mouth. I had to hold it shut. And so, but anyway, he was dead.
Wow.
But yeah, he wound up when the people came. I was trying to help the wife by that point because it was done, and he had started breathing, and I just wow. I felt good about it. And you know, so you know, I went to help the woman, but you know, it's like the dog next door got hit by a car, and it's like you know, no, be healed. I'm born again, and I believe, and by golly, I stand by your word. I stand by your promises. You know, you need to heal my cancer, or the cancer I had. You need to heal, you know, my eye. You need to heal my kidneys. And it's like, okay.
You know what, Gail? Okay. I'm thinking as you're speaking is how many of us go through life waiting to see, because, you know, we know that there's different parts of the body of Christ. Every one of us has a gift, and we go through our life wondering what's our gift. I think you know what your gift is. It's been revealed to you, and you know it. And thank God, that's that. There's people, myself, I'm still wondering what my gifts are. You know what I mean? And if God has given you that blessing that you, to recognize the gift, you know it's not you. You know it's the Holy Spirit, and you're giving him the whole credit, but he's using you as the instrument.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, I'm getting chills just thinking about it. I'm still waiting to see what my gifts are. And that
I could hold your hand, I could probably tell you.
Wow.
I used to be really good at being able to touch people, hold them. Sometimes they hug me. Sometimes I just get it supernaturally, as the Bible says, because his gifts are all supernatural. And you have many, yes. By the way.
Yes.
You have many. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but sometimes I can touch them and I can say things like, you know, to them, and they'll go, whoa, you know, I never remember that stuff, but it's usually stuff like what their gifts are or something along those lines,
yes,
you know,
yes,
or yes. That they're needed somewhere, whatever. And here lately, I have been just compelled. I have no choice. Night, day, all night, all the time, cooking, cleaning, whatever I'm doing, you must watch this video. You must watch this video. You must read this. You must listen to this. And it's just like, it's coming through too fast. I'm never going to get it. And it's like, it's not about you.
Well, it's like before we end this, I same thing. I'll pray before every morning I get up and I have my studies and it's my alone time. Not even my kids bother me about it. And I'll pray to God about different things that's going into my heart and my mind and God, why this and this and that. And it may not be the first book. It might be the third book. And because I read a chapter, usually five chapters in different books. And one of those books, I'll get the answer of what I like, or I'll see one of the characters in the Bible going through something. I'm like,
always.
Wow.
Always.
Wow. You answered my prayer.
We just have to, you know, I mean, he's in us. Yeah. And you know, the thing is, you know, I used to always say, you know, okay, come on, God, you know, come on, be with me, God, be with me, Holy Spirit. And it's like, I'm never not with you.
Yeah.
You're the one who needs to be with me.
Yeah.
And the more that I have focused on being with him, the more I hear him, the more I see him, the more I feel him, the more I know him. He leads me to wherever I need to go.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing thing. It truly, truly is. But churches kill all of that, in my view.
Well, that's
and
why,
I'm sorry to say that.
No. And it is true, because you have the experiences with the Pharisees where they talk to him about the Sabbath, and he goes, why are you fixing the Bible to fit your ideas?
Teaching wrong stuff.
Yeah.
If we were to go into the church and I would say to somebody, I healed someone because, you know, God gave me that
authority.
That's
a rare church that recognizes that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the rare church. Yeah, it's a rare church that will recognize that. I mean, if there's people out there that tell you, oh, I speak tongues, do they accept it in your church? I go, what do you mean they don't accept it? They don't accept it in your church? And they're like, yeah, my church looks at it weird. I go, it's one of the gifts of God. What do you mean your church doesn't accept it?
It's quite a big gift. It's a huge gift.
Yeah, but it's a shameful thing, as you said, these churches of women and men that are just putting their psychology into the mix instead of just letting the word do its job, because it doesn't need our help.
Well, there's a power dynamic. They don't want to give up that power, you know. So, exactly. if they were to explain to people that it's all inside you.
Yeah, because I tell my kids and myself, you need nothing else but the Bible. Mm-hmm. That's all you need. Just sit there, some time, and read it. And honestly, because like it says in Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, he goes, Ezra has set in his heart to study the law of the Lord, to practice it, and to teach his status and orders in Israel. But the first thing you hear is for him to practice it. That's what's like.
Yeah, God didn't tell us. Jesus didn't tell us to go to church. We have church in us. It depends on how you interpret the Bible and which Bible. I can interpret it. Church is the Holy Spirit, and that's what was poured into me when I became born again. And that's what's, you know, that's the God part. That's the spirit part of me.
And the part that I missed. Go ahead, girl. I'm sorry.
No, what they teach you in is mostly Old Testament in churches. And the reason that you're sick is your fault. You're doing something wrong. Well, it's not God's will for you to be well. It's like, yes, it is God's will for me to be well. Well, I'm not worthy. Yes, you were worthy enough for Jesus to die for you. I think you're pretty worthy. Well, it's like they're teaching us guilt and shame. Well, not only that,
if you are going through problems, the good scripture also tells you if you're not going through problems, then you're not loved by God, because you're the enemy of your. It's like what Job's beautiful word. What, are we only supposed to praise God during the good times? No.
Exactly.
No, because what gets you on your knees is our little test. So when the good times come in, you know exactly who to thank.
Good Times Culture Podcast.
Woo!
Amen.
Gail, I love this conversation.
I do too. I just get so energized. I know you do too, Hollywood, with talking about the Lord. And I'm telling you, I'm having so much revealed. It's like I'm losing like three quarters of it. And he says, don't worry about it. You just need to know it. And then I'll give you the words.
Well, that's what he says, right? He goes, on the last days, we're going to be taken to courts. And he's like, don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't worry about what you're going to say. All right.
Just believe on me.
Just believe like a child. Just believe on him like a child. Everything he says is true, and that's it. You know what I mean?
I know. It's an amazing life, but I wish that it hadn't taken me so many years to totally
you and me both.
Dive in.
You're like, totally do you hear my prayers, Gail? Yeah. Are you hearing my prayers? Because you're repeating what I pray about.
I sense it, yeah. I get something. No wings, I call them.
Well, it just tells us that it's the same spirit. You know what I mean? The same. I mean, it's like Peter says, don't think that you're the only one going through these problems. There's other brothers and sisters in the world that's going through the same struggles that you're going through. It's amazing.
If you're not having problems, you're not alive.
Thank you. That's what I tell my wife. If you don't feel pain, that means you know that you're not alive anymore. You're dead.
I'm going to hit the button to wrap it up. You guys okay?
Yeah.
All right, let's do this.
I think this is one of our better shows. Well, Gail, do you want to say anything before we leave?
I just have had a big time, and I appreciate the opportunity. Thank y'all so much.
Oh, we appreciate you being here.
Yeah, anytime we get to talk about God, that's a what can we say?
It's a good day.
It's a good day. So I'm going to give my spew real quick here. Good Time Culture Nation, you all know that we hear the music. That means Hollywood is ready to say, let's wrap it up. Okay, well, you all know that there's one reason and only one reason why this show is even still on. And it's simple, real simple, is that Hollywood and I, and now Gail and the intern, even though he's not on, we ask that you pray for us. I'm telling you, that is how we're going to get out of all this mess, is by praying and be united under one name, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. Okay? Amen. That's what it is. And Hollywood and I, and now Gail, we are going to pray for you. That's how this works. And that's the only way this can work. So once again,
Amen.
Nation, I am OG Mutt Dog. And well, if God willing, we'll see each other next week. All right, Hollywood, what do you got to say?
All right. Thanks for making it to the end of the show, everybody. We appreciate you, and send out our love. We also want to send a, you know, a blanket forgiveness to everybody out there, even our enemies. We pray for you to change your hearts.
Hey, just before we remind everybody to pray for Ohio, for those, those Indiana. Let's pray for those people, man.
And, you know, just, you know, please, you know, give a thumbs up, or you can contact us. There's an email in the description. And, you know, if you want to come on the show, feel free to join. Or if you just want to put up a question or anything, feel free to do that. We'd love to hear more from you guys. And until next week, we'll be here next week, exposing evil and praising God. And hopefully we'll have the whole crew back again. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you, bro.
Here we go.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye. Since the last time we talked, the walk has been hard. Now I know you haven't left me, but I feel like I'm alone. I'm a big boy now, but I'm still not grown. And I'm still going through it. Pain and a hurt. Soaking up trouble like rain in the dirt. And I know only I can stop the rain with just a mention of my Savior's name.